In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Is there a house that has been your favorite home? It might be where you grew up, or it might be where you're living now, or it could be a hunting or fishing cabin or somewhere else. For me, the home of my heart was my grandmother Dora's house. Maybe you have memories like mine about the home of your heart. The house was built in the early 1900s by my great-grandfather, who was called Poppy. Across the street was his blacksmith shop and saloon. Poppy and his wife Susie first lived in the house with their six children. Then my grandmother Dora and my grandfather Roy lived there with their three children. Three of Dora's siblings owned the homes adjacent to hers. Families stayed close in those days. My mother Shirley and my father Jimmy and my uncle Bud and my aunt Margie lived in that house when they were first married, and Jim and Bud were in the military service. My sister Debbie and her husband Wayne lived there the first year that they were married, and Melanie and I were the last of four generations to live there. Back in the day, wedding receptions were held in the dining room. Into the 1960s, family funerals were held in the living room. Poppy was such a big man, even bigger than me, that his casket wouldn't fit through the front door. They had to take him in and out through the picture window. The best seat in the house was Roy's recliner. That's where Melanie was sitting one Christmas Eve when I got down on one knee and asked her to marry me. Sometime, I guess, in the 1940s, the old blacksmith shop became a gas station. When Melanie and I were living in Dora's house, as we called it, the government wanted to put up an interstate highway through the area. They bought up all of the houses in the neighborhood and tore them all down. All that's left of the home of my heart is the tree in the backyard that we used to play on. Sometimes I still dream about that house, and those are good dreams. I'm sure that Trinity Lutheran Church's previous building on West Genesee Street is the spiritual home of your heart for many of you. Actually, it was not the first building our congregation worshiped in. First Trinity German Lutheran Church was organized in 1859 with 42 members, and worship services were held then in the members' homes. When it was no longer practical to worship in homes, a larger house on Martin Street was purchased to be our worship space. The congregation was served by a pastor who was only in Wellsville one Sunday a month. Soon, the congregation outgrew that house on Martin Street, too. By 1872, the congregation had 266 members and a full-time pastor in the pulpit. The building on Martin Street was converted into a Lutheran parochial school, and the congregation purchased a former Presbyterian church on Genesee Street. That building cost $2,700. For comparison's sake, we spent just about $80,000 to repair the roof on this building recently. The church had beautiful furniture and artwork. The hand-carved crucifix hanging in the foyer hung over the altar at the Genesee Street Church. That building is where some of you and many of your ancestors were baptized into God's family. There, you and your family learned the catechism and were confirmed. There, the word was preached and Holy Communion was celebrated to your spiritual edification. Wedding vows were made there. Many saints were commended into God's hands at funerals there as well. We know that God is omnipresent, that he is everywhere, and that he has promised to especially meet us in certain places, in the Word and the sacraments. We can also say that God was there in a special way for you in that building on Genesee Street, in joy and sorrows, in tears and laughter. Maybe some of you still dream about that church. But then, in 1972, the fury of Hurricane Agnes was unleashed on Wellville. The Genesee River overflowed its banks, and the town was flooded. Trinity's parish house collapsed, and part of the building and its contents were washed into the river. That had to be devastating to the church members. Some of the artwork and furniture were salvaged, and you can see them in the church office and the lounge. It was necessary for the congregation to relocate. The property where the Genesee Street Church was is now part of Jones Memorial Hospital. What Dora's house was to me, and the Genesee Street Church was to many of you, may be like what the temple in Jerusalem was like to the Jews in Jesus' earthly lifetime. The word temple comes from the Hebrew words meaning a sacred place and the house of a god. The original temple in Mount Zion in Jerusalem was built by King Solomon in the 10th century BC. He imported the best and most expensive materials and craftsmen to build and adorn the temple. It was the place where the Jewish festivals, the holy days, were celebrated. Ritual animal sacrifices were made there every day. To the Jews, the temple was considered to be the place where God tabernacled. It was his residence on earth, and the symbol of their religious and national pride. Generation after generation worshiped there. So in the 6th century BC, when the enemies of Israel overran them and took their leading citizens captive and looted and destroyed the temple, it created a crisis of faith for the entire Jewish nation. Although this calamity was the consequence of their sin, their turning away from God, they wondered, how could God let this happen? Is God still with us? Is God still for us? In times of loss and sorrow, we ask very similar questions. God, though, remains faithful even when we are not. God saw to it that some years later, the captives would return home and the temple would be rebuilt. King Herod the Great, who was not really so great at all, in fact, he was evil, did a major expansion and renovation of the temple right around the time that Jesus was born. He didn't do it for God's greater glory. Herod did it for his own glory and to curry the favor of his subjects. Even bad people sometimes do good things, if even for the wrong reason. I always suspect that God has a hand in that. Herod's temple was beautifully furnished and adorned. It was that temple that Jesus and his disciples were standing in front of in today's gospel reading. One of Jesus' disciples commented how beautiful the temple was, and Jesus shocked them all by saying that one day the temple would be destroyed. That was an unimaginable calamity to them. Then Jesus segues into teaching about the apocalypse, the end of time, when he would come again to earth on the last day. What Jesus predicted about the earthly temple came true. In 70 AD, the Jews revolted against their Roman occupiers, and the Romans destroyed the temple. All that is left of that glorious temple today is a piece of one of its walls called the Wailing Wall. The end of the temple meant the end of sacrifices in the Jewish faith. Europeans named that piece of remaining wall the Wailing Wall because of the ways that the Jews mourned and still mourn to this day the destruction of the temple and the loss of that important piece of their religious practice. Turning back now to our congregation, First Trinity bought property at the corner of Main Street and Park Lane. Other buildings had stood there before, including a sanitarium and a hotel and restaurant. The groundbreaking for the new building was in 1973. The cornerstone was laid on June 30th, 1974. That is why we can consider this year part of our 50th anniversary. Although the congregation worshiped in the building before the official dedication, the dedication was on June 14th in 1975. From the tragedy of losing our building on West Genesee Street in the hurricane and flood came the joy of our beautiful new building, and it is beautiful. Even more importantly, here we preach Christ, crucified and risen. People are initiated into the church by baptism and are fed here Christ's true body and blood. For many of you, this is the only church that you have ever known. It is the home of your heart of faith. God continues to bless us with new members in this place, as the two that we'll receive on November 17th. The generations roll on. You know the names and you know the histories of your church family, both those who are your biological family and those who are your spiritual siblings, those who are still on earth and those who are now in heaven. Turning back now to Jesus, he himself is the new and everlasting temple. His sacrifice on the cross was once and for all. We don't need an earthly temple made of stones now to make sacrifices for the forgiveness of our sin. In Jesus' death, all of our sins are forgiven. We are saved by grace through faith. And Jesus promises that when this life for us is over, or if he comes again to earth before that time, he has promised us a mansion that he has prepared in his Father's house. That is what we hope and pray for. That is what we dream about, to be with him forever. And if that heavenly mansion looks like the home of our hearts, if it looks like Dora's house, or if it looks like First Trinity Lutheran Church, either on Genesee Street or Main Street, I won't be disappointed at all. And I'm sure that neither will you. Amen.